Hi everyone, welcome, welcome. And on this Sunday, which is cloudy here in LA, and we're very happy about that. It's funny how when the context changes, everything changes. Now we love the rain. So let us start together and do a meditation. So everybody, you can just meditate. I'll take care of people coming in. Chris, if you can stop the sound so that we don't echo in our. Thank you. So let us arrive in this moment and in this body. Let us remember that we are a small part of the whole. And in that sense, we're going to truly meditate as a community. And I actually invite you to start with that image. Imagining that you are a small part of a whole. You can use your own image. Could be a drop in an ocean. It could be a small piece of a large puzzle. It could be a body of existence, and you can pick. Would be fun to see what you pick. Which part of the body would you like to be? So allowing whatever you have imagined yourself to be to settle in. And relax. And allow the rest of the whole to take care of whatever it is that needs to be taken care of in this moment. And just see how your body feels when you feel yourself and see yourself and consider yourself as part of a whole. Trusting, resting, belonging, supported, safe, at peace. I am we, and we are I. Letting your body to relax. Letting your mind to be at ease. And allowing your heart to be wide open. This is safe. We're okay. And let your breath show that you feel these things. Of course, if you do. Let your breath Go slower and deeper. Let your muscles go to their natural state of relaxation. And let your face show where you're at. If you're eased and relaxing, then let your facial muscles to indicate that. What a great feeling to be part of a whole. Be supported by a lot. Belong to everything and everybody. What is the feeling to have that we are safe? We belong. We are good. And as you're relaxing and releasing all the tension, as you're remembering the unity of all of us, your rational mind may remind you of the story of separation. Your rational mind may say, oh, but what about this? And what about that? What about those people? What about this incident? And I want you to just let your rational mind know that there are always an exception. There are always part of us or whatever we're part of that they forget the oneness. Just like when the cells of the body misbehave and go to dis-ease and they are diseased and unwell. That happens all the time. But nothing can take away the oneness of our body. They are always interconnected. The same way nothing can take away our own interconnectedness in the body of existence. Reminding your rational mind that separation is an illusion. An illusion that many of us have believed to be true, and hence the events and the stories that we have made and the histories that are recorded. But right now, in this moment, we remember our unity, our oneness. We remember our wholeness, even if it's just for now, just for a game, for a play, for an example, and see how that feels. What if it was true? What if we are all connected and one? What if you were all my people and my people were your people? What if the location of our birth or where we made stories and memories, it was simple as understanding that the hair is on top of our head and feet are at the bottom of our body. They're not located at the same place. They don't look the same. They don't have the same color. They don't even have the same job. They are tasked with completely different things. But they both belong to the same body. What if this was true? Even though those sections or parts of our body that are not really well. My hair is falling out if my feet are hurting. They're still part of me. So I want you to start by imagining your oneness with those that you prefer to be one with. People that you know, or people that you know of, somebody or some bodies that you respect. Imagining them as part of you, as part of your immediate family, part of your community. And just feel that this person or these people are surrounding you and connecting with you and supporting you. Just get a good mileage out of that picture and that image. One with your favorite people. And on the next breath, I want you to bring some like neutral people in your world and in your awareness. Closer to you, and imagine they also are part of you and part of your world and community and the body of existence that you belong to. Some random people, somebody that you neither have desire to be one with or aversion to be one with. And just gently add them to your community, to your body of existence. You can even give them jobs, like the people that you like. They can be your eyes or your mouth. People that you're neutral about, they can be, I don't know, the end of your ear or something like that. And just notice the neutrality that you feel when you imagine this group of people. And the next breath, I want to invite you to do something very difficult. Very, very difficult. This is where we all get stuck. I want you to imagine someone or someones that you see as your adversary, or even if you can contain it, as your enemy. And imagine they also are part of the body of existence that you belong to. Can you hold that? And if you can't, that's fine. You can just stay with the neutral people. But if you just can, and we are doing it as a group, so we're holding the space for each other. See if you can just let them in. Come on in, brother. Come on in, sister. I know I'm not fond of you or what you do or what you stand for, but I'm going to let you in because I realize that my salvation, my happiness, my peace requires me to acknowledge you and our oneness. If this is hard for you, I want you to remember that we are holding the space for each other. And I personally am holding my compassion for anyone that is able to imagine this, because I know it's not easy. It is not easy. And nobody has taught us that. And we haven't practiced that. We have only practiced hating, disliking, judging. In fact, we have normalized that. But now, as we can see the world and the events of the world are asking us to raise our consciousness, we are the people who know better. And now we need to do better. Now it is time to really practice what we believe or what we say is right, and the quotes that we put at the end of our emails and the ones that we share with each other. Now life and its urgencies and its speed is asking us to please live by the words that you're attracted to, by the words that you recite and repeat and quote. The world and the events of the world inviting us now that we know better to do better. We no longer can even claim ignorance. Now, if we don't do better, then it's intentional. We, as the seekers of the truth, have a responsibility to the truth and the expansion and normalization of the truth. And here is our opportunity to just practice for a second. So, if you have done the practice fully, you probably have bunch of people that you love to be with, bunch of people that you're neutral toward, and bunch of people that you've reacted to in your life. And now I want you to imagine that all of you, whoever you could imagine, are holding hands, forming a circle. And agreeing to disagree, but agreeing to be one. And as you form this circle and as you move around the circle, I want you to imagine that the rest of the people present in this room are joining you with their groups of people of desired, neutral, and undesired. And I want you to just see this circle that you have formed expanding as we all join you. And as we jolly, and as we dance, and as we feel united with one another, regardless of our ideas, disposition, colors, history, gender, sexual orientation, background, looks, class, education. Just imagine this circle expanding on every breath. Because this circle has so much energy that is attracting people of the world and whoever is ready to overcome their biases and their animosity, and they are ready to awaken to their oneness with all of the differences. We're not removing the differences, we're just removing the animosity and against each other energy and aversions. Our circle is expanding at a speed and at a degree that is unimaginable. I want you to imagine, I invite you to imagine, like a kid, that the circle that we have built is so large that is now wrapping itself around the place we call Earth. And there are different colors and genders and way of dancing and connecting, but we are all connected and connecting. And what a feeling that brings to your heart, I wonder. Because the joy I feel is almost impossible to hold in my heart. Just a picture, just a possibility of that, just the idea of being one with all. You were able to imagine, and if you weren't, that's okay too. I want you to remember this feeling of oneness and the dance to the music of existence and the joy of being and belonging to the world we live in. Bring that. Remember that these people are always there for you to join them and be with them and dance with them. And on the next breath, very gently, bring your attention to your own body. And just see how you feel. How do you feel? Were you able to do it to the end and imagine everything? Or did you get stuck somewhere just like I did? Where did you get stuck? What belief made you stuck? It doesn't matter. The fact that you even stayed while we did this is a huge, huge progress. On the next breath, I invite you to gather yourself and bring yourself back to the room and open your eyes when it feels comfortable to do so. Hi, everyone. Welcome, 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 welcome. I don't need to be this close to this anymore. Because I know you guys say that I go quiet when I'm meditating, so I bring it closer. So let's see. This time, I asked you to specifically to do a lesson because I think it's a good time. It's January for us to review. Minu and Isaac will be double reviewing or triple reviewing. But I think every time we review these lessons, we look at them from a completely different consciousness. And then that's a beautiful gauge for seeing how we have progressed. Because I know I've done that myself with, of course, somebody else's material, not but my own. And I thought, like, I didn't even hear that the last time. Did they mean this? And it was really fascinating. And it was just a smile to my ego that I've come a long way. I used to think this and I think that now. So I just thought I'll give you a taste of that this year and see how we do together. All right, enough of my voice. Who's going to share with us either the meditation or the lesson one that we decided to go through together? Let's see who's going to start. Silence is okay too, as you know. Minu.
Good morning, everyone. So good to see everyone here. Amazing. So when you said small piece of a puzzle, I imagined I am a dot on the map on the earth.
Dot on the map. Okay, yes.
So wherever the map is, I'm just a dot there, but I'm as a whole. I am not a dot, but I'm a small Minu in the big world. And I was looking at it from the earth. So when you said gather people that you love and go around the earth and kind of like hug the earth, it was so easy and it felt so good. It was like a game, playing a game of taking everyone around the globe, the earth. The only part that I had issue was when you said to bring your enemies along with you. I imagined my enemies to be like a disease. Why would I bring a disease with me in my body and let them be part of me. It was like I actually tried to note whatever I saw. I don't know if it's good or bad, but because I want to remember it. It was like bringing a disease or poison to my body. So why would I bring a poison in my body? And also, I had a trust issue that what if they would have something with them, a nail or something that would hurt my feet even more, or whatever that as a group we did. What if they stab people on that group of loving people that I took with me in the first group of people? And the rest was amazing, but I tried very hard that don't look at them as poison, just people that are neutral. Imagine I tried to imagine that they're not poison, they don't have knife, but they're just there, but they're not doing anything, not proactive, just there. Thank you. It was amazing. All of it was amazing.
Wow. And your share was amazing, Minu, because that's exactly where we go as human beings. That why would I bring the poison with me? And that's a great question to ask. And the answer is the same way that when I have a bad headache, or even let's say I have tumor in my head, I don't chop off my head. I try to treat it. That's the answer. Has anybody ever gone to the doctor and they say, I think you should just chop off your head and then your brain cancer will go away? Do you see what I'm saying? Why? Because we need each other. My body needs the head. My body needs the eyes. And we see when they go away, we really become disabled. We call it disabled. That's so interesting, meaning not able. Even though I don't agree with that word, but we call it as human beings collectively. Because then the answer is, if we go with that medical kind of diagnosis, that we cannot become disabled just because a part of our body is, as you called it, diseased. Even let's just say that is true, because because if you go to a bunch of diseased people, they think we are diseased. Do you understand? That's the beauty of life. Like, who's determining who is diseased? But let's say I'm right. Let's say you were right. And I truly have a hand or a head or an eye that's diseased. Okay. I'm not going to chop it off. I'm going to do exactly what we do with our body. I'm going to do my best to bring my sight back, to get my hand to move, to get my migraine or my tumor, whatever it is, to heal. Why? Because I know we are all part of the same body. And until everything is functioning well, I, as the feeler of the whole of the body, will not feel totally good.
But Mitra, there is also something by what you just said
Say it.
comes to my mind. But I protect my body. I don't just bring, I try to protect my body too. So if it's cold outside, I won't let enemy of cold or flu come to me. If it happens, it happens. But I try to protect myself. What happens to that protection? I'm not going to allow all of them to come in.
Okay, now you're talking about an external element. We're talking about internal elements of the body.
That I have no protection. I cannot protect my
Yes, you can. You can, but you cannot, if this is, you can't protect you from you. That is part of you. Do you understand? I can't protect me from Mitra because I am Mitra. I can protect me from, Mr. Such and Such and Mrs. Such and Such, but I can't protect me from me. This understanding of oneness is the key here. What you said, a virus is an external thing that comes in. In fact, the virus that has come in, we've already allowed it. It's the virus of separation, the disease. We have really spiritually one disease, and that's the disease of separation.
Separation.
That's it. There is no other disease. Once we cure that, then we realize everything else is curable. The moment I say that person that I'm like, about, oh God, that's part of me. Yes. The same way you can understand it in families, you can understand it in your body. We just don't understand it when we get it bigger. How many people have told me, I can't believe she's my sister? I can't believe he's my brother. How many people have told me that? I would have been a rich woman if I got 1 cent for every time in the past 40 years that I heard that. Okay, we do that with our body. Ugh, I love my body. I hate my fingers, somebody says. It's like, really? Yeah. I just hate. Do you see? Like, it's like this, and I like it longer, like it this. So we hate our bodies. We hate our family members. We hate that which we belong to. In fact, we are more sensitive about that than anything else. Why? Because we know deep down that we are part of that. That's why we're so sensitive about our families, because we know they represent us. I'll be so embarrassed if my brother said something in a like in this class. But I hear people saying things that are nice. Okay, they just were not in a good place, because I don't think, oh, they represent me. But if my brother said that, if my daughter said that, I think, oh God, I got, that's why we say, I got so embarrassed in front of everybody who said that. Do you understand? Because we know we have oneness, but we have forgotten our oneness with the world. Why do we hurt when somebody else hurts? Why, when you watch the news, if you don't have political views on that, let's say somewhere that we're neutral about, a country called Baba Balu, but they show that people are suffering. Oh, we feel it. That's what empathy and sympathy is. I literally feel it in my body. That's why imagination works, Minu, because when I can imagine it, I can feel it. And when I'm seeing these people, I'm imagining, oh my God, what if that was my kid? What if that was my family member? What if that was me? But I can't do that when I feel they are enemy. Enemizing people, I don't know if word exists, I made up another word, sorry. It just allows you to dehumanize. It then the relationship becomes between I and it. They are it. They don't have feelings, they don't have families, they don't hurt. We can just kill them by the dozen. But I, ooh, a paper cut. I can't use my finger. I had a paper cut yesterday. We make them it, we make ourselves I, and we. That's where we can hurt each other.
They do that because they want to separate us. They dehumanize people. So I don't know if we're going that way, but yeah, if they show that they are all people also, just like us, whoever is there, they don't bring something really like a country you said. I don't know anything about that country. If they bring something good and show us something that is similar to me, I can be like them and more. Have more empathy towards them. But if they bring something that they're so different, they will separate us. And then I will look at it as an it.
Right. Do you hear what you're saying, Minu? And you've worked on this, so I can take you on. You're a very good example because I know how long you've worked on this. You are saying, let me translate what you just said. They need to be good for me to consider them. No, good wasn't actually the right word. They need to be like me for me to consider them as part of me.
No, what I'm saying is that the outside world who wants to separate us brings something that I
Yes.
cannot
Relate to.
relate to, and they use that to separate us.
Yes. And your job as an awakening person
Exactly.
is to understand the role of institutions and not buy into it. That
Yes.
is their job. They are selling something,
Yes,
selling
exactly.
audience. Why would they show the news that they show that is really horrible? Why? Why would they focus on that? Why nobody shows that there are a bunch of people going around and helping those who need help and really make too many stories about it, like 20 minutes of that, not 3 minutes of that. Why nobody show that? Go around, and I've been going around LA and helping people. Go around anywhere. There are a bunch of thousands of decent people who are helping each other. Where are the cameras? Where are the cameras? I haven't seen one, and I'm out every night. After work, I go and help. I haven't seen one camera except like, people saying, let me take that, let me show that to my this and that. Why? Because it does not bring audience. But if you said, I always say, nobody cares about a little class. But if you and I get involved and get like into a fight, we can be in 9 o'clock news tonight and 6 o'clock news tonight. Oh, yeah, the mindful people, you should see them talk to each other. It's such a great, sexy news. But your role is to understand their job. Understand that's what their job is and not buy into it. I get the news. I get it. I read it. Okay. But I filter it through my awareness. This is the company that also said that. So I know how much of a truth I'm getting. I slapped you is very different than I killed you. And that's what they get. I mean, slapping is not that sexy. Killing is fantastic. We buy into the propaganda of the institutions, as I said it in that story. And then we go to the same institutions that divided us and ask them to protect us. And that's where we go wrong. That's where we go wrong. Thank you. What a great discussion you created. Thank you.
Thank
I'm
you.
grateful, Minu.
Thank you. Me too. Always.
All right. Let's see. We need someone else to bring some beautiful discussion into our little community. Jen.
Yeah, I can share. So, same with Manu, it was hard to like bring the people that you don't like close. But then when you said that I was standing in a circle with everyone and that everyone in this call was bringing their people too, I imagine that, oh, maybe someone that I don't like is someone in this room that someone likes. And so then it made me like think of the person a little differently. Like, do I really hate this person? Or is it just I'm seeing a certain part of them that others enjoy or that they like? And so I don't know, that helped with just like bringing in some of the I'll call them the bad people, to think that maybe it's just the way I see them.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah. I do that when I get like allergic to someone. I think, how does their mother like them? Somebody likes them, somebody loves them. And it's just like it humanized them. What you did automatically, it humanized them. It's exactly that. It's like I and it becomes I and them. Like they're actually at least a human being. They're not a it. Yeah. Thank you. Did you get a chance to review the lesson one at all? I know last time you said no, but did you get a chance?
Yeah, I reviewed it a couple times, and with the lesson, the way that you said the story, I felt like I was a little kid hearing a story like it bed or something. So I kind of liked the way it was presented, and yeah, I think it was hard to hear some of those things that that we're so disconnected, but it was nice that at the end, you're like, it's not all doom and gloom. Like, you can still choose that kind of a path and be creative and be connected and all that. And that was like reassuring in these very difficult times in the world that like we can turn into that, even if it's just one person doing that.
Yes, thank you. And it was intentional. The reason I made it childlike, because if I could really presented it like an adult story, then it would be like a religion and somebody will react to it. But the idea was to take the reader or the listener to the place of fun and playfulness. And that's the whole idea, because then a lot of our judgment drops when we're like a kid. It's just like it's a different story. Last night there was a when we were growing up with my brother, there was a series on TV. Some of you may be too young to remember or to know about. Was called Columbo. Anybody remembers? Yeah. So they were doing the screening of that at the Hammer Museum, where we are a member. And like the directors, whoever like was there that was still alive had joined, and it was fascinating and it was packed. So we are in our 60s. Both my brother is a little bit older than me. And so my brother came with me. I told him, he said, I have things to do. I said, please, let's go. Because last time we did this, we were kids. We went to the Hammer together with my brother and my partner. And it was really interesting. I was feeling like a kid. Like I realized I have to manage myself. There are people around us. I would like, push him just like when we were kid, when we were watching. And then Henry, my partner, said, Mitra, shh. I said, oh, sorry, I forgot. The idea is to go to that childlike place because a lot of our judgment drops. A lot of, I know, oh, I read it. I know the statistics. That drops. And it allows an openness of the heart, an openness of the mind to become our experience. So that was very intentional. And I'm glad that you noticed that and it took you to a playful place. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, okay, let's see. One more question before we take a break. Come on, go, Nikki. I know you have a question. You're just holding on to yours. I can see it on your face. Nikki has a new title. She's, Apple has Genius Bar. We call Nikki our Genius Bar person because whoever has a problem with something, they write to her. And she comes, so she has a new title. Go ahead, Nikki.
Thanks for the genius bar. Oh, let me get settled here a second. Now I got off because it take me back here. What was interesting for me is when you bringing up someone who you dislike or you have an issue with, is all of a sudden I felt my masculine Ajax, who's got the sword, want to come in and defend me.
Oh, wow.
And he just, and he's going, come on, let me be. And I'm going, no, we can't go there. Just take it, This is not, we're not there anymore. It's okay, Ajax, you did it before in the past, but you no longer need to protect me.
Wow.
And so that
Yeah.
was it was like so forceful. He was just trying to come out, and I could feel that masculine energy.
Yeah. The
Yeah.
protector.
Yeah,
The
yeah.
protector that we need when we live in a separated world. Of course we did.
Yeah.
Like what Minu said, yeah, of course I need it. If I'm going to a world that everybody's separated than me, I need protection. But in oneness, we don't. And I'm not saying that we become impractical. Of course, there are a lot of other people who are living as separated and as little somethings as I call them. And we can't pretend they don't exist. But we need to even work with them with a sense of oneness. I
Yeah.
still protect myself. So if we go out and somebody attacks us or somebody wants to do some harm to us, we don't just say, oh, please go ahead. You don't do that. We're not naive. We're awakened.
Yeah.
We can include them too. We can include them too.
Yeah.
And that's just we do a podcast, with my new podcast partner Ben, and I was saying that we were recording that these days, as if anybody is here in LA, and I know some of you are, people are charged, people are like at capacity, and I was waiting in line to pay for something, and one person was going like, he was at capacity, and he was like really. He was inappropriate, not wild, but he was like, huffing and puffing for no reason. And I looked at him and I remembered what my teacher used to say. Say, you don't know whose partner just left them. You don't know whose mother just died. You don't know whose child is in the hospital. You don't know who just lost their dog. You don't know why people are there. And of course, when that happens, everybody looks at you as if like you are just like such a savage. Everybody's looking at him like that, like this. And I looked at him and I realized he's just getting to a worse place by the second, and the line was long. So I went to him and he was a large man. And I looked at him and I said, do you need a hug? He said, what? I said, do you need a hug? He said, from you? I said, yeah. And then he bent over and we hugged. And you know what happened? Other people came and joined us. It was such a moment. I could not stop crying. In fact, I didn't pay for what I had. I came out. I just couldn't contain my heart. It was so free and so simple. I saw his pain. I looked at him and I thought, I've been there. When I go mad, when I feel like I can't hold it anymore, everything is going wrong. I've been there. And instead of thinking, ah, disgusting man, can't believe he doesn't have manners, I said, oh, what a human being, what a human moment of suffering. That's all I did. And I turned around, the woman next to us came, so she hugged us for, and then a larger, even than him, man came. He hugged all of us. He was taller and bigger. It was just like there were no cameras there, I can tell you that. No camera. Nobody even brought their, you know how everybody's like movie stars these days and producer. Nobody did that because everybody was busy to connect to their human moment. It's that simple. First, I thought I'll give my place to him. That's the first thing. It was logical solution. It was very interesting where I went with. I went and I thought, because I was closer than him. And I thought, okay, I'll just say you come and take my place. Then I thought, no, he may think that I'm, condescending towards him. By the time I got in front of him and I saw his eyes, in that moment, I decided to say, do you need a hug? And of course, there's legality, all these things, there are funny things happening in the city or everywhere. Like it's hard to do that. I know that. So I'm older, I can afford it a little bit more. You probably, Jennifer is too young to offer that and too much more beautiful than I am. So, but I mean, you can do something else. Can I get you some water? I could have said that if I was younger. I wouldn't probably offer a hug. But something that says, I hear you, I see you, I've been there, I know your pain. In fact, our reactions of disgust says that we remember. The disgust look was about the moment we were there. It wasn't about him. I'm looking at these people thinking, really? You've never been here? You want to tell me you've never ever lost it like this, either internally or externally. And he wasn't being bad. He was just like, oh, I can't believe this. Like, why people do this? Like, he was just going to a bad place. And I thought, oh, he's going. And by the time he gets to his turn, it's going to be like maybe physical, even because he just had no capacity. But I had capacity in that moment. There are times I don't have it either, but I had it that time. And I thought, why don't I share that? It's just like, you have too much water. Can you spare me a bottle? So, yeah, nobody recorded that. It wasn't in the news. Nobody will hear about it except probably 20 people who were there. But I will remember it and he will remember it. It's that simple. It's that guy that comes out. I know exactly what you mean, Nikki. I'm a survivor, believe me. I'm an immigrant. I'm a single mother. I know how to survive. I protected everything and everybody. But to my own destruction, only to find out the energy and the person that I was protecting myself and my loved ones from lived within me. There's nothing outside of me. So, thank you.
Yeah, can I just want to comment on that, because what it
Please.
made me, it's what I see is that as I become more of an attentionist, is when I see those parts of me in other people, and that's what, and I feel that old me coming back, and that's where that tension comes, and then I have to sit there and just back off and say, okay, they're in a survivalist mode, and I'm still, and I'm working to not be there any longer. So there's that part that, yeah, like you said, it's that thing that you remember, that part of you that brings you back and says, yeah. So it's fascinating.
So what you said was very interesting. It reminded me that we can go. So the journey is that first we're both in survivalist mode.
Right.
which probably that's where we fight and argue and like, you know, I say and say, and my voice is, you know, stronger than yours or my body, so I win, I sort of. So both in survivalist mode. Then we come to the neutral place that I see them. I see myself as non-survivalist. I see them as survivalists, and I think, okay, I understand. And the third place is that not only I see them and do I see myself in that place, I also feel ready to share some of my non-survivalist energy with them. It's like, you know how they say spare change? It's like spare some awareness, some kindness. Like, can you spare some of that? And sometimes I can't. Believe me, there are times I just leave the scene because I can't hold it, because I don't want to sound like, oh, this is what I do every night. I did it like once. But what I'm saying is, it is possible. So where am I? Am I also in survivalist mode? Okay, that's a good moment to bring me out of it and make me an observer. And if I'm observing, the question, next question is, am I capable of sharing? And most of the time, the answer is no, not now.
No,
Not now. And that's okay too. As long as I know that possibility exists, maybe one day when I'm ready, I'm going to do that. When I feel safe enough, because that was another thing. If there were nobody there, I wouldn't feel safe with it to go to an angry man and be alone with him and ask him, do you want a hug? He could have just beat me up. But it's just that possibility exists. And I use my survivalist mind to determine if this is safe to even offer. So the survivalist rational mind that we talk about a lot, rational mind has a lot of job here. We're not retiring it. We're just not overusing it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, Minu.
So what I learned from you is that in that case that I cannot do anything and I see someone really suffering, in my mind or in my heart, I just wish them well. May you feel better soon. May you get peace back to your mind or body. I do that a lot because, as you said, sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes I'm not courageous enough to approach that person. So
Yes.
all I can do is that send them a wish that you taught
Absolutely.
us. May you
Well,
feel
it's everybody has taught us. Exactly. I call it energetic donation.
right.
I don't need to always come and cook for you, but I can sit here and say, oh, may Minu be healthy and happy. May she find her way. Because that energy, because that look of disgust that people is like, oh, how inappropriate, how uncivilized of you. That is the opposite. They're sending judgment. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's
Yes.
actually perpetuate. No, not perpetuation is not the right word. It's actually accumulating and adding to
Who's
the
in it?
negative energy.
Right.
It's increasing it. So I'm angry. You're angry that I'm angry. Now that we've got anger plus anger. And then there are these people looking at us being angry. So there's like eight other angry. So now we've got the anger energy in the room this big. And you've seen that times that you go to a place and you just can't enter the room. Have you ever seen it? Like when people have like done that, you enter the room and you think, oh my God, like I know something has happened here. This is not good. It's very heavy. And we say it, we couldn't cut it with a knife if you wanted to. But yes. And I would even use a different word instead of the courage to do it, because it's not just courage. I'm not ready, because that's a judgmental word about me, about yourself. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm not ready. Or maybe I don't have the capacity. Look, if my mother is in the car waiting, I won't do this because it just, I mean, I've got things to do or I'm late for something. But it's not the right time for me to do it. So I want you to be careful not to judge yourself for not doing it every time you see that. Do you see what I'm saying? Because we can harm ourselves also in the process. I'm very, very
I didn't
careful.
have, but maybe I didn't have the knowledge that I could do that.
Okay,
That's
yes.
knowledge too, that I
Yes.
didn't know that could. Now I know someone can use some, maybe some people refuse it if they are not ready to accept it.
Yes.
But maybe I didn't have the knowledge that this way works too.
Yes,
I
thank you.
the other way.
And if they're not ready, that's fine too. I may say no. And how many times we've been angry? I know when I'm upset, I don't want anybody around me. Just let me go and digest it. I'll come back. I'll let you know when you can come near me. Otherwise, before that, stay away. You know, this is very dangerous. Danger zone. You've seen it, construction. Is it danger? It's like there's danger, Mitra danger zone. So it's that's fine too, but that's possible. And also be ready. You called it courageous. Also be ready. The man may have said, no, who are you, you crazy woman? And right. I was fine with that too, because that has happened to me. This has happened. Especially, it's interesting. No, I'm not going to make that judgment. But the group of gender that actually they're more likely to say no, which is women, actually, and not men, believe it or not, in my experience, that when I've offered, some women have said no. I said, okay, what can I do? The next question, next degree. Is there anything I can do to help? And then they would say, what? I was like, can I get you a bottle of water? Do you want to sit? So what I'm doing is I'm trying to bring down the energy of anger, whatever it is. And I'm irrelevant at that time. It's not Mitra, the ego Mitra. I may get really embarrassed in front of a lot of people. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay. I think my ego can handle it. And sometimes it's not okay. My ego cannot handle it. See, do you see, I'm giving you all the options because I don't want you to go harsh now on yourself instead of going harsh on the other person who's losing it. Both of them are bringing the consciousness down. It doesn't matter if I'm hurting my hand, if I'm hurting my head, both of them hurts the body.
Right. So that's, you said women, kids usually would call and say, mom is angry. They would never say dad is angry. When mom is angry, everyone hides. Dad is angry.
Well, because there's a whole history to that, but I'm not going to go there. This is not women's studies information is coming up, but that's irrelevant.
Get to that feminine and masculine, maybe.
Exactly.
We can cover it then.
We cover that. Yeah. Okay. Good time to take a break. It's 5 minutes. Okay. For everybody, five. So wherever you are, please come back in 5 minutes. Thank you. Recording. Amir has to go back to work and he says, can we have a copy of the recording? I don't know what to do with the recording business because we don't have the room to store all these recording, but a lot of people are asking for it. So I may make it available for like a week or so that people who want it, I don't know, we'll talk about it and decide maybe. And see what we need to do, because a lot of people are asking for it. Sunday is not right for them, but they really want to be part of it. So we'll think about it. If you have any suggestions, anybody has any suggestions, I'm open to it, but we'll think about that. All right, let us come back. Any other shares who listened, re-listened or listened to the lesson one? Anything came up? Anything, any insights that you had on your own? Yes, Christine.
I wanted to, can you hear me okay?
We can hear you.
Okay. I wanted to had a different connected but similar insight from the part of the meditation mindfulness session this morning when you were talking about the circle and the connection. I was really leaning into people who I felt connected to, who made me laugh about the political situation. I don't know if laugh is the word, but maybe made me see it in a humorous light, because it was like feeling like they feel the injustice, but putting it in a palatable way. And I was also having a hard time bringing or connecting with people who had a different belief than I did it, and I was feeling angry with them and trying to figure out how to bring them along when I'm angry. And I recognized that only bringing people that believe the same as me wasn't like the future, like path to higher higher levels, but that's where I got, I guess, stuck and kind of unable to get back on the connection because I was stuck.
Yeah. I have a statement that I repeat in my head when I believe, and it's all our belief. And you know what beliefs are? Beliefs are thoughts that we have practiced. That's simple as that. We have to make sure that we take away the powers that we've given to the beliefs that we have. But let's say it's such a belief that I really, really believe. It's like something like, as you said, like somebody killing somebody. Okay, I can't believe that might be a better version of it. Like, you know, you're not supposed to take life of other people. But I, in order to be able to work with them, I think, and this is one of the principles of most isms, not all of them, but most of them, that the assumption is that we have goodness within all of us. There is goodness within every human being. However, that goodness can be covered. That can be conditioned. That can be, there's so many things that can be done to that inner goodness that we all have. In fact, it's one of the main principles of Buddhism and Eastern philosophies, that inside of us is goodness, and then we bring our experiences, our beliefs, our historical, ancestral, whatever it is, and then that goodness turns into all the things that we experience. But when I do that, and what really works for me is I think good people with bad information. It's very simple. Good people with bad information. So I hear somebody with a lot of passion saying something that I think, wow, in my world, that is so inhuman and wrong. I'm not even attached to the world that I've built, but you know, it is. What can I do? I have my own beliefs. Then I say, at worst, if my belief is correct, let's assume that. If my belief is correct and their belief is wrong, then I can see them as good people with bad information. Because that can happen. If I conditioned you, if you were my child, and I conditioned you all your life with a piece of information and repeated it enough times that became a part of you, and that information, say it was inhuman or wrong, then that's exactly what it is. I turned you, a beautiful being, a little something, in a little, sorry, a little everything. I turned you into a something now. I now say that these people, and I have different names for them, that, you know, the green people are the bad people. I want you to just know that. They are the dangerous people. And then you are a person, you are a little everything with a very harsh, negative, bad information that has turned you temporarily in that area to a something. So that is helpful for me, that at best I can feel that good people with bad information. And that's exactly can happen. If somebody brought some statistics and some are now everything they can make up and some photos and showed you Mitra is a, I don't know, a criminal, okay? And really showed you everything, then you believe that. It was a wrong information, but you believed it. So you are a decent person, you are a good person with the wrong information. Do you see how this can happen? It's simple as that. So don't see them as bad people, because that when you say somebody is bad, and we do that with ourselves too. That's why in mindfulness, the invitation always say that you are not what you're experiencing. Carlotta was asking me a question about one of her clients the other day. She texted me and she said, this is, she has experienced this and she really is ashamed of it, and she really can't separate herself from this, whatever it was that she was experiencing. I said, your job is to separate her from ex her experience. I am not this. I am not bad. Let's say I did something bad. That bad experience was one experience that I had. By nature, I'm actually a good being. But I've okay, I made a mistake and I did this, and as a result, I have this and I got that and I do this. That's our job, to separate ourselves and other people from being by essence, by nature, bad. Such a thing is not possible. We are by training or memories of other parallel lives that we have. That's a possibility, because a lot of people say, this child, as soon as they were born, they were like this. So yeah, they're bringing with them memory of, and as you know, I always say such a thing as past life does not exist, because in that level of consciousness, there is no time to have a past and the future life. There are lives that we're experiencing, yes, and they inform each other. That's why you see, especially nowadays, a 5-year-old playing like Chopin. What happened? This child, this being, remembered or is remembering another experience they have as a musician. So they don't need to go through the training that I need to go in order to play like them, because they're remembering their experience as a musician, as a pianist, as a, you know, whatever it is. And then they can play like that at 5. Or opera singers. I mean, I'm into opera. It's really fascinating to sing an opera at that resonates like that thing. You have to have a certain body. That's why usually women singers and men singers are heavy, because you need a heavy body to hold that particular thing. And now you see this little kid. I look at her, because I've listened to opera most of my life. And I look at her like, how could she make that voice? How could she make that noise, that sound? It's impossible for this little body. But memory allows her to do that, because she has obviously experienced, or is experiencing, is a better word, being an opera singer somewhere else. So she's brought a little bit of memory. That's what genius is, remembering all the other. Imagine I have, let's just for a number, this is not the truth. Let's say I have 20 lives happening right now. Okay. In one, I'm a scientist. In one, I'm a teacher. In one, I'm a cook. In one, I'm a mother. In one, I'm a head of a whatever. In one, I'm, I don't know, a plumber. And then bringing all of them, that memory, to this life that I'm experiencing. Or that experience. Again, you see, I still say memory as if it was past. It's wrong. Bringing that experience, that knowledge, that knowing into this life. You will call me a genius. Mitra can fix plumbing. She can play music. She can cook at the same time. She's a great mother and runs the company. You think, wow, how could she do that? If I brought my memories, and sometimes we do, and the experiences and the knowledge, and then that's what geniuses are. Impossible becomes possible. So, long answer to a very, very simple question. To answer you, Christine, I think you should remember that these are at worst good people with bad information. That might be helpful. And if you can't go there, don't go there. Stay with neutral. Because you go to analyzing, and then it becomes very heavy, even for you to feel in the moment and good about yourself. We lose it. That's the problem with attention. When I pay attention to what happened in them and how bad they were and how difficult it is, it makes it so difficult to be present to this moment. And I worked, and I am working with people who have like true historical traumas. Some of you know I'm a support group for children of Holocaust survivors. And it's just so interesting to see, I get shivers every time I talk about it, to see how common the experiences are, because they're focusing on the same traumatic experience.
They act like they have same symptoms. They see things the same way. And one has come from, Germany, one has come from New York, one has come from but they have very similar experiences because they're holding the same traumas. It's just so fascinating to watch human beings. And it's just like, it's like, that's the door. Get out. That's the door. But you have to be ready. I mean, something that it's such a deep trauma, it's harder to recover from, Or at personal level, some people have traumas like, rape as a child or things like that. It's not as simple as just get over it. It's not. But there are other options. There are other options of seeing what has happened to us. Not sure if it was helpful, but that's what came up for me and I shared.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Let's see. Chris.
Okay. This morning, when I was looking at the lesson, probably the first time I've looked at the lesson in a few months. And when I looked at it this morning, something, it felt very fresh to me. I had this thought that big everything is me, big everything is all of us, and that even the separation between big everything and a little everything can create a delusion. And in my practice up to this point, I think I've been focusing on the separation between catching myself as a something when I should be a little everything. But today, when I looked at it, I thought, well, you can be a little everything with a big ego. So even the separate, and that's what hit me, even the separation between big everything and little everything can be problematic. So it reminded me of the importance of remembering to practice in a way where there is no separation, and that finding that space where I reconnect with the feeling of being a part of big everything.
Great point. Great point. And you said some, there's so many things you said that I want to talk about, but let's just pick two or three. The first one was that it felt fresh. Well, it was the same thing. That wasn't fresh. What was fresh was your new consciousness. I want you to understand that because I haven't changed the recording. So that wasn't fresh. You were fresh in your consciousness. That's the first thing I wanted to say that. Well, tell me, you want to say something about that?
No, because it's so true. I realize that it's where you are in your own practice, it makes the same thing resonate differently. And so that it's so true because that's where I am in my practice is just trying to feel big everything without separation.
Yes.
But yeah, so there it was in the teaching.
So the second thing you said, it is so true. Differentiating between little everything and big everything is possible to bring separation. But the story is like this, that imagine water. Okay. Water is, existence is. If I existed, I've always existed. I cannot not exist. I keep saying that because that's such an important part of understanding ourselves. But how come, like, when did I start being? People ask, like, when Mitra, whatever that energy is, was born? Well, always. But here's the story to understand it. So there's waters, like, unlimited waters, and that's the existence. That's a big everything. And then when one part of the water just rises from, let's say, unlimited ocean of existence, and that wants to become something that wants to experience itself as a part of the whole. So that little water, I don't want to call it a drop, but let's call it a drop for sake of talking and vocabulary. So one drop out of that ocean sort of comes out and names itself as Chris. Okay. You always existed. You were always part of the water. It's just not as Chris. Now is Chris. Okay. Now this drop is called Chris. That drop is called, Carlota. That one is Nikki. This one is Jennifer. So now we've got drops coming to experience themselves, but they're still part of the ocean. But their experience is individual. And as they grow or as they diminish, doesn't matter as far as vibration is concerned, they are affecting the ocean because they're still part of the ocean. Does that make sense? So
Totally.
that separation is only for the identification, not for the idea of separating that I'm here, I'm the drop, and there's the ocean. No, I am the drop of the ocean. I am of the nature. I am of the big everything. I am not just part of it. I'm of it and there. But I need to experience myself separately in order to add. And
Yes.
then Chris names himself in another experience. I don't know, Red Rose. Maybe you're experiencing yourself as a Red Rose in another existence right in this moment. So in that existence, you're Red Rose. I may be like, I have things about animals. So I may be a dove or a cow. I don't know, in another experience. And that's just so changes the way we understand ourselves and the existence story. But you're right, that also brings separation. I am it, but in just like this little part of it, like Minu was saying, I'm just dot, part of the big dot, that it's unlimited, and I'm experiencing myself in that this moment as this identity that I've given myself. But as long as I remember I'm part of the whole, then that separation won't affect me. It's just like this drop has come out of the ocean and now doesn't believe it's part of the ocean. He says, no, I'm here alone. I say, like, yeah, but you decided to jump out. If you jump in, you're still part of the ocean.
Yeah, I see that potential there for like as a little everything, you might think that a something that you're better than a something. But the truth is that the something is just as much a part of big everything as you are.
Bravo.
Yeah.
Yes, bravo. That's a very good point.
It
Can
made
you
me
repeat that, please? I'm so sorry. Can you repeat that?
as a little everything, you might believe that you're better than a something, but the truth is that the something is just as much a part of big everything as you are. Yeah, and it made me focus on if we have to live in separation, which we do, then our attention should be going to what's an unhealthy separation and a healthy separation. Like being a little everything is a healthy separation. Creating bound energetic boundaries so a something isn't bringing suffering into your life is a healthy separation. So that's where my mind is now, is what if when I am living in separation, is this a healthy separation or an unhealthy separation?
Great words. Yes, great words. So I am seeing the separation, and I even might protect myself from the some things. However, I do not forget the main story of interconnectedness.
Yes,
I
that.
understand the separation that I call you Chris and I call me Mitra. True, you live there with your family, I live here with my family, but I won't let that make me believe or forget that at in essence we're all part of the ocean. Like, okay, for now we call you Chris,
We call me Mitra. We call her Christine. And then, okay, that's fine. That's a good game. We're playing. Hey, guys, we're playing. Did you ever play as a kid? You were the mommy, and the other one was the daddy, and this one was the teacher. I don't know. Did anybody play? Was I the only one? Yeah, we're playing. We're playing. I'm playing Mitra. You're playing Chris. You're playing, Christine, and that's what we're doing. And then we've taken it too seriously. And now I'm like, Mitra, I'm going to defend her, and I'm going to make sure it's like, it was just a game. Just a game. Thank you. Are you complete, Chris?
Yes, thank you.
Carlota.
I had a comment, but so in the meditation, when you invite us to find a place in our body to be, it's funny how I went into my hands and I thought, oh, hands are good. Hands have can do stuff. They're creative. They get in touch with people. They heal. Oh, I have everything in the hands. And suddenly I caught myself practicing separation. I was just looking for the place of my body that was more independent, not to count with all the rest.
And better than the rest.
Yeah. And it just made me think what Chris was saying now. Like we're so in practice of just practicing separation. Like I went with all my heart and good spirit to find a nice place in my body, and suddenly I was making it work so that I could be independent of the rest of my body. And then I realized why I cannot count with my heart to heal and with my, I don't know, my face to feel and my hands just let them create, but not do everything. So yeah. Now I was hearing at Chris and this feeling of like the separation, it's just an illusion in between some things. Like you can play the game as long as you're playing in between somethingness. It loses any sense when you are in everythingness.
Yes. And we have played the somethingness so long and so deep that we started to believe it. I truly believe I'm separated. I truly believe these people are good and those people are bad, and those are not part of us and these are part of us. And then the world also makes that stronger in our experience. Our vocabulary, that's another thing that allows us to stay separated. And then people around us, the vocabulary they use, they're so bad that it's, I can't believe them. Ah, we don't want to be with them. And then it becomes so strong that feeling connected becomes the difficult one. It becomes the unique one. I mean, if I tell you how many people say to me, you're so unique in, I mean, it's really, they're being nice. They're saying you're unusual and odd and weird and nobody feels like that. And I'm thinking, that's not true. You feel it too. They say, how do I feel that? I don't feel like I'm same thing with these people. I say, yes, you do. You know how I know? By your reaction. If you weren't so reactive to them, I would accept it. The fact that you're so reactive, that means they're irking something in you. And that something is exactly what is the something that our family members irk in us. We know we're connected with them, and that irks us that they're not doing or being the way we want them to be. So we know the fact that we even are disgusted by people, that means that we know our interconnectedness. Otherwise, it's like we would just go by and say, ah, whatever. And the more allergic we are to a certain group or certain behavior, the more of that group and behavior we have unresolved in us. So I might be just allergic to, I don't know, unkindness. Somebody is allergic to, I know someone actually that I work with. They're so sensitive to people who don't take care of them physically. I mean, to a degree of like they hate them. Somebody they don't know, they say, "Ah, oh, that's disgusting." And it's very interesting the work we're doing. I'm working like very deeply with this person. And it's fascinating to see deep down inside them, they see themselves as so ugly. And they're a beautiful person in my view. So the ugliness they feel inside of them is the ugliness that they project, and they're allergic to people that they think they're not beautiful, or they don't take care of themselves, or they're not presentable. It's really fascinating to see. So.
So Mitra, taking from this, when you are so reactive to something, what I've learned from you is this, that either you have something to look at in the same way, or either you are doing too much in the other extreme. So if she's taking or he is taking too much care of him or himself, it's because they make an extra effort to compensate this ugliness inside, no?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly
Not
what
that, and then we can have another person who, in fact, actually sees themselves ugly and don't fit. And then when they see other people ugly, they react the same. Like, why are they? Because it's either one or the other, but there is this extreme, no?
Yes. It's everything and everybody is us. There is no one but us in our awareness. And when we figure that out, we realize that any reaction we have is indicative of the work we need to do. There is no one but you in your awareness. No one. And you're right, the more extreme that is, the more urgent it is for us to look at that how do I see myself? Yeah. And why do I need, if you look at energetic aspect of what psychological diagnoses are, you understand them. For instance, energetically, not medically, like OCD, what people call OCD, is extra attention to the order outside of you, for instance, or extra attention to something, which means there is a need for it. More attention to the inside of you. So I'm feeling unsettled. I'm saying I want you to put everything in order for me to feel settled. You understand? So
It does help.
energetically is so fascinating if you look at it. I don't know the medical terminology. I have no idea. I don't even touch it in sessions because that's not my expertise. But when I translate it into energetic, I say, okay, what inside of you is not in order? When they say I've been diagnosed with OCD, I don't know. I don't give medication. I have no idea. I don't even use the terminology in sessions because I have no idea what that means in medical terms. But I know energetically what that means.
Yeah, it made me think of somebody I know that when he was little had no attention, like couldn't predict when he would get attention of her mother, and it was a single mom. So he was left with a grandma, which was, he had a loving environment, but
Yeah.
he didn't have the, and he was OCD on his teenage time going to adulthood because he had no control when he was growing up of anything in his life. He
Yes.
was never knowing.
Yes.
And so that's answering this, no? What do you don't have experience not in control that now you need to control 10 times if you close the door?
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. Everything comes from inside, if you only remember that. And then outside has its name and it has its validity. I mean, that's why we need doctors and psychiatrists and therapists to sort of look at it from that way. But this is a different way of looking at it. It's energetic and much, much deeper way of seeing why, what is the experience that bringing this to my awareness. So, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
We still have time for some discussions. Let's see. Go ahead.
This separation has been huge for me, but it's like you said, it's just so simple. It's a big kind of awakening, but it's so, just so very, very simple. And but there was something said just a while ago about there has to be separation, and I'm seeing it as it's my choice. You know, the meditation was, oh, it was just beautiful. And it enabled me to feel that there is no separation, and there's not. I mean, there's not. So it all comes down to, and everything, and Kristen, I can relate to you to feeling some very reactive feelings that I am having with everything that's going on in this political realm. And this has just helped me so much. And seeing, being able to get a different view, to see this from a different lens, and but also to realize that, you know what, it's my choice. It's my choice. When I am feeling this, these feelings of, and almost, which is very rare for me, almost hatred, toward what is going on. I don't even like, I can't stand that word. And to me, I don't go there. I don't hate anyone, but these feelings, this reactivity. So this has been very helpful for me. So because it is my choice. And like you've said many times, how do I want to feel? And in my walking, my granddog this morning, it's like, oh, okay, this is just a beautiful, how do I want to feel? You know what? That's so when I come up with these feelings of and I'm going to call it separation now, because I think I can relate to that better than to just this person, and I'm going to say they're not really lack of information, but they're, I don't know what their intention is. I don't know. I think I'm rambling here, but I'm getting it. And it's just that it is. It's my choice, and I think this separation has brought me to a very good place, to where in my reactivity, I have a place to go with this, another option. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you. No, that was great to share. I think you're right. The words like are very important. Sometimes they resonate and sometimes they don't. So you can, I mean, if you want to be playful, you can say these are little everythings with some things information, not use bad and good. You can just say it that way, that they're in their somethingness. And then check in with yourself and where you are. If I was in my everythingness right now, how would I see them? And immediately the whole dynamic changes between them. It's no longer because when we're both some things, we want to argue and judge and make sure that we know that they're like bad people. But when I am in my everything and they are in some things, now I can hold the space either in a neutral place, or I can actually even contribute to for them to remind themselves in that moment. If I tell you, I mean, I really wish somebody had captured that somehow more, because I was just too emotional, that what happened in the eyes of, and I've seen it because I do these things a lot. I mean, it's my thing to do. I have the, what Minu called it, the courage to really, really go over my ego because it's a real risk. I mean, I once was like pushed back when I did that. I went and stood in front of somebody and I said, do you need a hug? Because is there anything? And the person just pushed me literally and said, get lost. And I was fine with that too. So you go at a risk. I want to say that so that you guys don't start doing it and say, Mitra, I did what you said, and you know what happened in front of everybody. The guy pushed me. So it's I go with that risk and I say, you know what? In my everythingness, I can hold that. In my something, or now I'm going to just get upset and say, you wild person, I can't believe it. Like I can get there. But it's just like using the words to see where you are. And the lighter the words, the easier to go there. Because even the word that I used was a something's word, that good people, bad information, good and badding is a language of the world of something. But whatever takes you there, it doesn't matter. Find yourself, meet yourself where you are, and from there you can go to a higher place. Just what like Chris said, and then a fresh experience
becomes, I've probably done these things. I don't know, like going and saying these things. I think I lost count, to be honest with you, but like maybe 40, 50 times in the recent years that I remember. But not everything was successful. Not everything was like, you know, they said, oh, yes, oh, thank you. And everybody hugged. There were a lot of bad, you know, experiences for me, but I also understood it and realized it from that point of little everythingness, and then it was easy. Some things get e really irked easily, so that reminds me. You see how everything works for you? Where am I? Because I could offer this as a way of raising my consciousness. Or helping them raise their consciousness, or I could do that at place of ego that everybody says, bravo, Mitra, what a wonderful savior who came and did this. I could do the right thing with the wrong intention. Something's language again. Yeah.
So thank you. And I'm going to have to depart now. So this
Yeah.
was, thank you, everyone. And thank you,
Good to
Mitra.
see you. Yeah, bye-bye. Yeah, we've got only let's see. 10, 13 more minutes. So let's see who else wants to speak, who has something to share.
Like to share.
Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. I connected with so much that was shared already. And thank you to the Genius Bar for helping me get back to the video, the audio content. So I was started to re-listen to the lesson, which I haven't done since the beginning. And it was familiar, of course. And at the same time, I was like, did she re-record this? Did she add this blue breathing? No, this is definitely familiar, just because right now in Los Angeles, there's concerns about air quality. I've been feeling very concerned. Also, I have a young son, and I'm concerned about his well-being in this sort of situation that we're in. And I just sort of laughed to myself and to Mitra, just the evergreenness of these lessons. That even though the first time I heard it was like a year and a half or 2 years ago, whenever we started, how relevant, even before the story started, of just the practice of needing to breathe in something blue and really accept that, and embody it. And that sort of ties into, and this, I'm not sure what the question or the comment is, but the concerns about institutions, and the lack of trust I have in institutions in the point in my life of like keeping me and my family safe, trusting the quality of the air and the quality of the water, and not wanting to live in total fear either, and trusting divine timing, trusting source, whatever you want to call it. How to I'm struggling how to sort of manage gathering information, making informed decisions, and not being completely trapped in being a survivalist. So that's like the balance of like an eternalist of everything will be fine, like this is all happening the way it's supposed to, and also the reality of potential health concerns is sort of how that's all showing up for me right now.
Yeah. Thank you. No, I did not change the recording. It's the same recording. And we see, we hear this over and over again. As far as the institutions are concerned, I think we've put too much emphasis or trusted them, not just in internally trusting, but also counting, I think that's the right word, counting on their powers and how much they know. And I think I remember I had that feeling when 9/11 happened. Let's say that I'm not going to get involved in any political interpretation of what happened. Let's say what they said happened. Okay. I'm just going to believe that for the time being. And then I think they said that they couldn't translate the Arabic words that were told to them. And I'm thinking, this is the most powerful country in the world. And at the time that they received messages,
they could not translate the words from Arabic to English. Like, I could do that. They couldn't do that. Like, just understanding how disempowered they are allows us, instead of going to a place of fear, to become empowered ourselves. So allow that lack of either trust, meaning I don't know if they are even, they mean well, or lack of counting on them, they can even are able to do good things if they're intending the good things, because both of them are questionable. Let's just understand how much I can count on me. And more importantly, what is my role then? Why am I always ask, why am I living in these times? Why? Why you and I are living in this country, in this city, in this time? Why? You must have a role or a reason. My higher self wasn't that stupid. I may be, but my higher self is not to choose this place. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't just because I liked California. There was more to it. And then that gives me a different responsibility. So maybe our job is to be the contributor of the awakening consciousness. How about that? Maybe that's my job. I just stay. And it doesn't mean that I give up my survivalist abilities. Please understand that, because that's the confusion with these three separation that they have done. Okay, so I'm an attentionist, so I don't survive? No, attentionist includes all the abilities and capabilities of surviving. In fact, we survive very well because we're not in a state of fear. You see, the person who survives is the person who doesn't panic. I understand the bigger picture if I'm in my, attentionist mode, or if I'm a little everything. And then I actually, from that place, I survive well. I survive really well. But when I'm panicking, when I'm in my survivalist energy, then I will do the wrong thing. That's when we make mistakes. So count on you, and then use what the institutions are offering as a tool. Because when you don't know, when you're naive, you become their victim. When you know what's happening, and doesn't mean that you have the information about this particular institution, I just generally know why they exist. Generally, I don't have any more information than that. I'm not a specialist. And I know, hey, they happen to do some things that works for me, and they happen to do some things that works against me. I'm going to just be in the balanced place and do the best thing I can. That's my job. But when I get involved in the story of the victims, too involved, especially with images, videos are the worst things. Watching news through video, meaning TV, is the worst thing because it goes right to the DNA of your bones when you see it. And even when you don't believe it and you're being reactive to them, you still are taking their energy in. So whether I'm agreeing and I'm believing and say, yes, oh, they're so good. I love my government. Or I'm saying I'm disgusted. I can't believe bunch of thieves. I am really contributing to their strength at the same time, at the same level. Does that make sense, Christine?
Yes,
Okay.
thank you.
Good. So the idea is not to entangle either through aversion or complete acceptance and admiration sometimes. I see people, they call them patriotic, I think, in this country. It's like they love what's going on. And I think, okay, that's fine. I won't hate it because if I do, then that I would be contributing to that energy. I'm a neutral observer. From there, I decide what I want to do. Remember, I mean, Jennifer, you will hear this later on in the lessons. There is an observation deck that I go to see the bigger picture, what's going on. These people suffering, these people are looking at it at the business. Literally the day after, Tuesday, the fires happened. Wednesday morning, I talked to a client who said they are preparing to go and buy the land in Pacific Palisade. They had put together, and I told him, I'm sorry, even I don't have the capacity to talk to you about this. They said, why? I said, I understand business. I understand investment. Believe me, I advise corporations.
But I just cannot understand why people are burning. The number was at 13, it became 24 later. That you're thinking about which property to purchase and build on. It's too early for me. I'm too human for that. So, but I didn't get to a place of, I hate you, I can't believe you're animals. No. In fact, animals are above us consciously, so that you know, but I just hold the space of neutrality and not wanting to go there and get deeper with that discussion. He said, so you're saying that you're not prepared to speak to me at my session about that? I said, absolutely. You want refund? I'll give it to you. But I'm not going to speak about construction of this and that when literally people that I know are burning and their homes are burning. I don't care how much they have, they are human beings. Just because they have, wealth doesn't mean they don't burn and they don't hurt. Same as Altadena. People usually didn't have, they weren't as rich. It doesn't make any difference. Pain is pain. But what I'm saying is not getting entangled with them. Don't count on them too much. Don't get in their admiration too much. Don't hate them too much. Then you can utilize, because in the middle of all that, there's a lot of good things there that you can use. Good for you. Does that make sense, Christine?
It does. Thank you.
Just don't lose yourself in hating or loving. That's all. That's when we lose it. And then we can't see the truth and we can't help ourselves. Remember, you are connected to the source. There is nothing somebody else knows that is more than you, as far as knowing is concerned, not knowledge. And knowledge is cheap right now, anyways. Put it in Chat GPT. I know what the best scientists know in 2 seconds. So knowledge is cheap. It's the knowing that will come to the rescue and knowing you have access to. You are also part of the same ocean that I claim to be. So I cannot know more than you. I can have more access to what I know because I'm standing at a better angle. Go and stand at that angle and you see exactly what you think I'm seeing. That's your job.
Thank you. I was about to ask a follow-up question, but reminding me of my knowing is what I needed to hear. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I think we're good for today. I'm going to invite you to do the lesson two. And if you can please do that for the next one, but I'll put it also in the communication that I have with you. And I gotta love you and leave you. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye,
Bye.
everybody. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.